Cliff College is an evangelical learning community rooted in God's Word and Spirit for the purpose of equipping God's people for practical ministry and cutting-edge missional engagement.
For more than 100 years, we have trained people for mission and evangelism and have seen our students go on to do extraordinary work for the kingdom of God. In this podcast, we'll be hearing some of their stories and finding out what insights they have to share about their ministries and the communities they serve.
Welcome to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College. Welcome back to Ministry Roadmaps, a Cliff College podcast. It's great to have you back with us. Hope some of the things you've been hearing in recent weeks have been really exciting. I'm Ashley Cooper, I'm the principal here at Cliff, and really excited this morning to be having a conversation with a former student. Morning, Darren.
Good morning, Ash. How are you?
I'm really well. I'm really excited to have you with us. So, in a minute, I'll come back to you. Just let me introduce who's round the table with me here. Who have I got round the table?
Morning, Ash. I'm Ali McKenzie. I'm the pastoral team manager here at... No, I'm not. I'm the student welfare manager.
Well, do you know what you're doing? I know we're recording this on a Monday morning. But do you know what your job title is?
Apparently not. Let me get there now. Student welfare manager. So I work with the students and I'm also on faculty. Do a bit of teaching.
What do you teach around?
I teach around pastoral theology and a bit of mentoring, a bit of spirituality.
Great. I love having you around the table. That's great. Thanks, Ali. Who else have we got?
I'm Ali Alexander.
Another Ali. That's going to be really confusing in conversation, isn't it?
In the words of Paul Simon, you can call me Al. But just for today, that's the
not
one.
Go there.
Maybe later. I am a first year theology and mission student, and I'm very pleased to be here today with Darren. I've met Darren many times, and I am a Janner myself.
A what?
Someone from Plymouth.
Ah, okay.
So if I do slip into the right, bye, yeah, get on.
Yeah, let's not do that.
No, but I can't.
If you could talk
it.
Queen's English just for the next 20-30 minutes, that'd be really
I'll try my best.
Well, can you, Ash?
No, not at all. I'm a Stokey. I could go into the Costco kebab and get a well, yeah, to your boss it kind of stuff. If we want to start talking dialects, let's really go for it, Darren. So you're clearly from Plymouth.
Yeah, hey up.
Your accent really sounds like a southerner. So you're located in Plymouth. You're definitely a northerner, aren't you, Darren?
I'm definitely a northerner. I'm talking about Queen's English. My goodness. Down in young Coyle Oil where it muckers on winders. No. You won't get much of that from me.
Good. Don't get me started on Plymouth, Exeter and Cornwall. Because I had to go on a train just a couple of days ago from Paddington Station to Redruth. Well, I hadn't realised how far away Cornwall actually was. It's like going to the other ends of the earth, isn't it? Because it was 5 hours on this train. Yeah. And I'd been in a meeting and I thought, I'll get something on the train to eat. Mm-hmm. Kind of set off thinking, they then tell me there's no buffet car on this train. They're going to bring a trolley round. Okay, that's fine. I can cope with a trolley. And when it gets to me, obviously everybody had eaten everything. There was a Kit Kat.
A Kit Kat?
5 hours.
Nothing else?
Nothing.
Just a Kit Kat.
Chunky,
that's terrible.
Chunky Kit Kat?
No.
Was it a four-fingered Kit
Kat? It was a four-fingered Kit Kat.
How many did you have?
One.
Just one?
5 hours.
Really?
Are you feeling sorry for me now?
Anyway,
what kind of backwater place? Ooh. Only
no.
Has a Kit Kat, Darren.
No. Ali, come on.
Come on, somebody needs to defend them, because
no.
I can't.
No, because you were going into the land of pasties, Ashley.
I did get a pasty while I was down. So anyway, Darren, welcome. We're going to find out all about you in just a few minutes.
Wonderful.
And it's great to have you all with us. We're looking forward to having a conversation together.
Let's go to an ad.
Cliff College Festival is a weekend where people of all ages encounter God together through worship, teaching and fellowship. Join us from the 24th to the 27th of May 2024 as we explore our theme, Rerooted, Making Peace on the Journey. With Bible studies from author and pastor Matt Majofsky, worship from Matt Beckingham and Our Atlantic Roots, as well as seminars, performances, youth and children's venues and activities across the festival site. We really do have something for everyone. Book online at cliffcollege.ac.uk/festival.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're going to get stuck in listening and talking a bit with Darren now. And as we begin, Ash is going to do his usual quick-fire questions.
Oh, yes, I love these.
So do we.
So here we go, Darren. Are you ready?
I'm nervous.
The first thing that comes into your head, as long as it's clean.
Oh, dear me.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
What years were you at Cliff?
2005 to 2007.
Oh, did a long time. Good. What was the favourite thing you studied?
I've just got visions of Martin Atkins.
There you goodness. Go.
Yeah, him.
Him. Yeah. Martin, you studied Martin Atkins.
I studied Martin Atkins.
Well, can you remember any of your room numbers?
10.
10, good. Who was the principal while you were here?
Martin Atkins.
There you go. I'm going to get the same answer to this. Who's your favourite lecturer?
Martin Atkins.
This is now the Martin Atkins fan club. Martin, if you're listening, see... anyway, carry on. Where did you go on mission?
Martin Atkins. No.
We tell our students Jesus is the answer to every question, not Martin Atkins.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you go on mission?
So I went on mission to Isle of Man.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
We're hoping to take our students there in a couple of years' time. Great.
Awesome place.
How often did you walk up the edge?
Oh, every day. My goodness.
That's a lie.
That is true? Yeah. Honestly, that was my prayer place. You know where Pride and Prejudice, Keira Knightley, she stands on that thing.
She does, yeah.
She does.
Does she?
Yeah. That was
me. I didn't know her.
Yeah. I was Keira Knightley every day.
Don't, because now I'm having all kinds of images that are just not helpful. Oh boy, no. Let's move quickly.
Sorry.
How many nights a week did you go to the bridge in?
One in my whole 2 years.
Just once?
Yeah.
You are a good student.
Oh, it's very holy.
I'm hoping all of our students are now listening to this, because this is great. What was your favourite Cliff dish food-wise?
Oh, the warm salad.
Deliberately warm or accidentally warm?
I'll leave that with you.
Oh boy. Anyway, who was your favourite student at the time?
Ali Johnson.
Of course he was.
There we go.
He wouldn't have only been to the bridge once, I'm sure.
No, he was there every night, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's. Are you still in touch with any students?
Quite a few. What's lovely about Methodism is that there's a Cliff reunion wherever you go. So that's so good.
Yeah, no, and as I just said a moment or two ago, I was in Cornwall just a few days ago, and I'd bumped into so many people who said I was at Cliff, and they tell me the years they were at Cliff, and they talk about Cliff. It was just so exciting to see folk I'd never met before in ministry who talk about Cliff so passionately. That was great. Final question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is the big one.
Okay.
This is the big one.
All right.
And I need this honest answer.
Okay.
All right. Did you ever break any rules?
I was student president, so no.
Okay.
Oh, well done.
No, I was really. I mean, I was on best behaviour for 2 years.
Good. I'm very pleased here. I want all our students now to listen to all of your answers, because that's they can all go and pretend to be Keira Knightley as well.
Okay. Fabulous.
Yeah. Moving on swiftly. Darren, tell us a bit more about some of your standout memories of your time at Cliff.
I think the Rose Garden, and the reason why is because there was a real group of us that really had a passion for prayer and really wanted to see God move. And Cliff is it's got such a history of such a spiritual place. It just inspires you to, while you're there, not just to do the academics and the programs, but actually to connect with what that place means. Because, you know, we talk about thin places, but I think for us, for this group of people that just used to meet before breakfast in the Rose Garden, just to pray and just to have a real longing for God, for Jesus to just come and fill us more with the Holy Spirit, and just to see God move in incredible ways. And there was a real hunger building. And also prayer walks on the edge. I mean, if you can't relate to God where Cliff is, I mean, talk about geographically, my goodness. I often think of it. And for me, I would never, ever, ever swap my time at Cliff for anything. It was foundational, transformative, and it was just a place where I really plugged into God.
I just want to interject here, just to say, Darren, I think you're setting a standard that the student body might not be able to meet, because meeting in the Rose Garden for prayer before morning prayers, I mean, half of us struggle to get
down
there.
Can I just say,
anyway,
he said so. Before breakfast. That's how early they were.
Goodness.
And morning walks on what the time edge. Was morning prayers when you were?
Oh, I can't remember now. It was after breakfast, wasn't it? It was after the breakfast. You went.
Yeah, but I think it was earlier than you do it now.
Goodness, prayer walks on the edge, and only going to the bridge once.
There you go. That's a high standard.
That is a tough ask.
Kind of inspiring, though, isn't it?
Yeah, my standards have dropped tremendously.
Well, that's very human of you to say.
Well, and humble, I think. Humble.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
It's always best to point out your humility, isn't it? So a special time, transformative and equipping, and, you know, you're living out of it still. I can hear that as you talk.
Yeah, it's a place you carry with you, and how cheesy, but actually it is a place that you carry with you, and you reflect on your time there and the relationships that you've formed. But actually, what a journey that God puts you on. I was really called to Cliff. In fact, I was doing a bit of I was a Pentecostal when I first came into, you know, church, and I met a guy called Barry Woodward, who we went on a mission trip together. It was about four men having to share a bed in where were we? Where
did we don't talk about those things, Darren.
Oh, sorry. Okay, but I think it was India. We went to India. And he was talking about Cliff all the time. Cliff, Cliff, Cliff. Yeah. And actually, after that, I came to have a look round Cliff and I just felt such a calling to Cliff. And I sold my house. The rest is history.
Aww. And, you know, we've got a student here, Al, who's left his home. He's come. Yeah. It's not dissimilar, perhaps, in some ways.
No. I mean, I haven't sold it. It's I'm sort of still reaping the reward of having it.
Fair enough.
It's helping you pay your lovely fees to Cliff College.
It's the only way that I can afford to be here.
Yeah.
Because I have already done.
Yeah. I've done a degree previously, so you can't get a student loan. So it's you're one of the few students who's literally paying your way through Cliff on the undergraduate program. And that's a commitment to God. It's a commitment to Cliff.
Yeah.
It's a commitment to your ministry future. Yeah.
It's rolling the dice in a big way and hoping that I come up with a good score, really.
No rolling of dice here. This is all meant to be.
I just want to say to you, Ali, though, just encourage you, mate, because to be fair, you know, when you're walking in that kind of blind faith and you're putting all your eggs in God's basket, as it were, mate, God honours you. God will honour you, you know. And even if whatever right, wrong turns you make, just the fact that you want to please God and honour God and trust God, mate, all respect to you. I think that's amazing.
Darren, just moving us on, because we could talk about Cliff and your time here all day, but that would take all our time up. And we want to just hear a little bit about where God's led you since your time at Cliff. Because what we often talk about is Cliff being a springboard out into God's world and where he wants you to be. And so you have this time here at Cliff, the 3 years you were here, to be equipped, to be trained, changed, to be transformed, and to be ready and to hear God's call. And we've heard a lot of that from you in that bit of conversation we've just had. But just talk me, because you've had quite an interesting journey since leaving Cliff. Just reading your bio, you tell us a bit of your story.
Well, you say a springboard. Mine was more like a pirouette and a jeté, because I used to be a ballet dancer. I mean, I toured the country with West End production of Cats in Greece. I even danced with Leslie Caron on a film called Funny Bones. And every Christmas, you'll see me in my purple tights and my sparkly buckles with what they're calling Patrick Stewart in Christmas Carol. But that's where I came from. Hit Cliff, you can imagine. And since Cliff, though, everything that I prayed for at Cliff and imagined myself doing in ministry, none of that happened. None of it happened. And I went to Cardiff and I had a great time at Cardiff. Cardiff is such a lovely place. And, you know, the Howell Harris kind of tradition of Methodism and all of that. So I really plugged into that. But I've got to say, I had a bit of a wobble and my mental health went a bit down. And I think I experienced something about the dark night of the soul. But yeah. The positive of this is that I actually started to really grow spiritually at that point, even when it was getting really difficult. And I stumbled on the mystics and the desert mothers and fathers and just started to read and just explore the spirituality within God's heart. And I linked up with Ignatian spirituality and I got a mentor, and that was absolutely formative and just an incredible journey. In 2013, I felt God call me into the army. Now, what's a ballerina doing in the army?
That is a massive shift, isn't it? Well, went to the army.
Well, the chaplain general at the time, David Coulter, said, Darren, a ballet dancer should not work in the army. But strangely, it does. And yeah, I had a fantastic time. I was deployed on Ebola, on the West Africa response during the Ebola crisis. I was one of only three padres that went out there, visiting the facility, being with people who had Ebola, were dying of Ebola, being part of the mortuary team, and obviously burying people who died of Ebola and being the liaison with the families, and also keeping up the morale of all the soldiers who were working, and that was right across the services. That was an incredible experience. And then I got moved to 2-9 Commando, and the chaplain general said, are you up for the course? I said, yeah, of course I am. Do you know what I mean? Now, we're talking about the All Arms Commando course here.
Wow.
And I'm 44. So I remember running against this wall. There's a 6-foot wall. You've got to jump over it. And boy, did I bang into it. My goodness. but actually, God, I don't think I've prayed as much in my life. And I actually got my green beret. And one of the remarkable things that happened was the lieutenant colonel said, Padre, as he gave me my beret, he said, the commando prayer. And I just gathered everybody together at the end of the 30 miler, which is the last thing you do on the commando course. And we had the commando prayer. It was an incredible time. Mm-hmm. And I baptized one of the soldiers on there while we were doing the course. It was just a fantastic ministry within Army Chaplaincy. And I would commend chaplaincy to anybody, because I think, again, it brings a different dynamic to who you are in ministry. And then I went back into Plymouth and Devonport, where I am now. And then I think we'll hold the next bit, because that would be... I don't want to steal my sandwiches for a little later on.
And Darren, tell us a bit more about what you're doing at the moment.
So, right, so ballet dancer.
Yeah.
Commando trained padre.
Yeah.
Hairdressing.
Well, is not a logical move.
No.
So how did God take you there?
So, absolutely. Again, another curveball from God's spirit, which thank you very much. I mean, when I was coming to Cliff, actually, I was in prayer. I sound very holy, don't I? I was in prayer and I felt God say to me, you know those inner promptings from God's spirit? Yeah, yeah. And I felt God say to me, are you ready for the adventure? He didn't say it like that.
That sounded more Star Trek than
yeah,
God, if I'm
yeah,
really
it did. Like yeah.
Gladiators?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it? But
Darren, ready!
Yes! Holy Spirit! Holy Spirit, ready! Yes!
Ready for what? Ready for what?
Well, and it's turned out to be a real adventure, because I had a sabbatical about 2 years ago, and or just over, and I just wanted a bit of sanity. I just wanted to do something that wasn't churchy. I wanted to do something that was just getting me back out into the community. I think that chaplaincy yearning was there. And someone suggested hairdressing. Random! And I went to train. I just thought, yeah, I'll do that. That's great. And when I got into the industry of hair salons, the mission potential just was like gobsmacking. And I just thought, my goodness, there is so much evangelistic and missional potential in this industry. And suddenly the ideas start to form. The timing, talk about God and timing. One of God's best miracles, I believe, is timing and that synchronicity. And everything just kind of went boom into place. So as I sit here now, I'm a qualified hairdresser. Actually, I did my MVQ2 in 7 months, which was quite a short time. And then I did, for the past year, I've been doing my MVQ level 3 in women's and men's hairdressing. And I've passed that. So fully qualified, just finishing off my barbering. But what we're looking at doing is in line with the new places for new people. So we're looking at creating, how does discipleship and evangelism look in that context? Yeah. What kind of community, not so much a gathered community, but what does community look like in that context? And actually just doing some learning around that and just journeying with people. I think that's where the chaplaincy heart comes out within this. Coming alongside, it's a bit like Philip jumping in the chariot, you know, not bringing God, but partnering with God in the chariot and unpacking God in that moment. Yeah. And I think that, for me, that's such a great image of what mission and evangelism looks like for me. Coming alongside people, yeah.
And when you come alongside them in the hair salon, what's your prayer? What are you praying?
Lord, please help me do this perm. No, do you know, my spiritual director says to me, before you cut hair, just simply say this: I do this in the name of the Father, I do this in the name of the Son, I do this in the name of the Holy Spirit. And that's amazing.
The whole sort of barbering side of things, I actually wrote about more from the angle of mental health. There's a charity called the Lions Barber Collective, who promote sort of men's mental health and talking about how they're feeling. And this is very similar, really, because you have got that captive audience, really, for however long it takes. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm making no sudden moves if someone's got a pair of sharp scissors near my near my neck. So
that's a very good point, Al.
Yeah, but you know, you're there, and it's a very safe space, because, you know, the person that's cutting your hair wants to do the best job that they can for you, and it's just a very calming place to be. So I think that's a really cool ministry, actually.
Well, I often think about my daughter, who goes to one of our local salons. She's there for about 4 hours.
That's
now.
Correct. Yeah.
If she's
yeah.
going to have her colours done, and she has it, she talks about all these things she has done.
She has very nice hair.
She does have very nice hair,
and paying for it.
Well, let's not even go about how much that costs me at the moment, because she's a student, and she says I should be paying for her life. She ceases to be a student fairly soon, and I've told her at that point she pays for her life. But that's a whole other story. But she is there for 4 hours of the time.
Correct. Yeah.
And you've got that kind of... She has relationship with her hairdresser. They communicate outside now of the salon time. They'll text each other. Mm. And so the relationship has built with that person over time. So in terms of missional opportunity, actually both ways. For those of us that sit in the chair...
Yes,
and build relationship with those who are cutting our hair, but also those... So just to hear you talk about that, just loads of light bulbs switched on for me just as you started talking about, not literal light bulbs, which of course you need in a hair salon, but that sense of, of course this is missional, of course this is discipleship, of course this is relational.
And it's mutual, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a psychotherapist, and when I go for a haircut, I often feel like I'm giving free therapy as well as receiving, you know, that sort of care and presence. Yeah.
The only thing there is to do is talk, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're not going anywhere, so you might as well fill the time, and you can really get to know people, like, just on a really sort of close level.
So an exciting place to be, Darren?
It is an exciting place to be, and what gives me confidence is that actually we're told that there are no mistakes. And I think that really gives you permission to learn. And one of the things we learned in the army, I remember being sat at a very quite high up meeting, and there was a major general saying, one of the things we need to learn in military is to give people permission to make mistakes. Now, what I think that general was saying was, we need to give people permission to do some deep learning, because it's those times when we go down those cul-de-sacs or we make what would be perceived as a mistake that actually those are the times that we learn most. And I think however this journey pans out, we've got to remember that God's with us and God's leading us. We've just got to keep ourselves absolutely, our God compass, absolutely pointing true north and just keep in step with God's spirit as we move forward. So very exciting, yeah.
So the salon, where's the salon based, Darren?
It's going to be based in Plymouth at a place called Mutley Plain. And if anybody knows Mutley Plain, it's full of barbers. So okay. You think, why on earth are you going to put a hair salon? But there's not many hair salons there. So it's called Ref 7. Revelation 7 as well. So
okay.
Yes.
Good play. Good play.
Yeah, I will be their shepherd and wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Amen.
Beautiful.
I know. And you've got a slightly wider ministry as well as that, across Plymouth, Exeter, Cornwall, Isles of Scilly.
Yeah, and this is really exciting as well, because it's about getting alongside people and working out how in their context they can do new things with new people. And that's, we're starting that already, and there's some excellent projects coming up, Shoreline, how we do church online, and all that Wayne Grucock's doing there is some pioneering work, some fantastic work there. We're talking about gaming as well. So people like to go and do some gaming, how we can make relationships and networks during gaming. I'm a bit old for that, I think, but I don't really know what that is, but sounds fantastic. And also walking, going on walks together, actually just forming that community, because so much of life is so remote. Just bringing it back to actually being with people, I think, is key to this.
And we're bringing 20 odd of our students down during Holy Week to kind of walk Cornwall, to walk a trek. We're to bring in the old trek cart. We're going to engage with Methodists.
Brilliant. Yes.
Hearing lots of stories. Yes. So every night in Holy Week, we're running a celebration in Cornwall. So just let people know about that as well.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
They can connect with us.
Yeah,
maybe
brilliant.
Even just come and see us one night and we can share some of your story as part of the trek journey. That would be great to connect with
you. I'd love to do that.
Darren, just one of the last things we wanted to ask you is if you had any kind of top tips for those willers, things kind of you wish you'd knew before you set off, or you've learnt along the way that just might inspire or encourage current students or listeners?
I did write these down, but I haven't got that piece of paper in front of me, Ash. I do. I can't remember what I said. But
doesn't matter. Give me three. Go for
it. I'll give you three. So I think it's about, it's integrity. Integrity with yourself and integrity with God and integrity with others. The second one I would say, and it follows on from integrity, really, is please be yourself. Because I remember Ian White, the legend that is Ian White, and he said something at Cliff while we were at Cliff, and I've never forgot it. And he said that God has called you. God has called you. God has called you. And those emphases on those different words has stayed with me my whole ministry. God calls you so that when the wind of God's spirit blows through you, it makes a very authentic sound that only you can make. So go make that sound and partner with God's spirit. That's what I would say.
Perfect. Darren, thank you so much. Don't go away, because we're going to just do a little bit of reflection. So stay there and we'll come back in just a moment.
Well, welcome back. We're just going to spend a few moments now reflecting a bit and sharing some of the things that really struck us about Darren's story. Now, I, for one, perhaps it's because I'm an Ignatian spiritual director, but my ears just pricked up when you shared a bit about some of your spiritual journey and just how deep you've gone, and, you know, alluded to the dark night of the soul when you were in Cardiff, and how out of that, I guess you've just really put down deep roots with God, and I would imagine that those have sustained you in this very broad ministry that you've had thus far. And, you know, looks like you're not done yet, are you? You've got plenty more to come. So something about that depth with God really struck me, Ash.
Yeah, and I was really appreciative, Darren, of the honesty with that, because you could have just kind of brushed over that and gone, come to Cliff, the holy story you gave us of your time at Cliff, and then everything was perfect from that point on. And actually, the reality is it wasn't. And that real honesty that actually life does have those moments for all of us, even in ministry, or especially in ministry, when actually life feels really hard and tough. And and even question, God, what on earth? Why have you brought me to this place? Or why? Because it just feels hard.
Yeah, and even that sense, you know, those things that you thought you were going to go off and do, none of those happened, and you went a very different route. And I'm sure that resonates with our listeners, that God takes us to places that we never even dreamt we could go to, and sometimes don't want to, but sometimes they're the places we most flourish in and most feel ourselves.
Darren, you talked about being authentic, and one of those key things I think that I wanted to pick up on was that sense of you saying, be yourself. Yeah. I think often, and sometimes it happens with students here at Cliff, they look at some kind of Christian leaders and those in ministry and think, I want to be like them. They're the kind of role model. And in many ways, you are a role model in ministry, Darren, and we've seen your ministry and been inspired by it. But no one's going to emulate your ministry. You don't want to watch me do a pirouette, let me tell you. Well, you may, but for
I
very...
Do. I do.
I would pay, Ashley, to see that. Yeah.
For very different reasons. But it is that sense, isn't it? God has a ministry for you, and it's going to look vastly different. Just be open to what God is... And it's about that listening to the promptings of the Spirit and being willing to go.
God calls us to be ourselves.
And I think it's coming back to that sense of, you know, God doesn't call us to be successful, whatever that looks like, however that looks like in society, or what the expectations of that looks like. It's about being faithful. It's saying yes to God, even though... It's that covenant prayer, isn't it, that we cherish as Methodists. Yeah. You know, let me be laid aside for you. There was many times in my ministry where I felt laid aside. Many times, and it's not a nice place to be, but you know, it's those times that God's doing that deeper work within you. I believe in preparation for the other times that you know, that come within your ministry.
I think the other thing you said was when you kind of got into the salon bit, you were gobsmacked by the mission possibilities.
Yeah.
And it is, isn't it? Seeing with God's eyes the possibility in the locations that we find ourselves. Just kind of having a different set of lenses that just, there are possibilities wherever we find ourselves.
Wherever
we
are.
For mission, for discipleship, for new communities, for being alongside.
Yeah.
Whether that be in a hair salon or in a sports chaplaincy or wherever we find ourselves.
Yeah. And you just couldn't make it up, the way our God works, taking you from a green beret to, I don't know, a raspberry beret in the salon. Well, you know, like,
well, I'd say
so
more of a nice magenta would be quite nice. I think that'd suit my colouring a bit more.
You just couldn't make it up.
No.
God's kingdom is topsy-turvy. Awesome.
Darren, thank you so much for sharing.
My pleasure.
Really been great. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us today on Ministry Roadmaps, a Cliff College podcast. If you've got anything you want to share back with us, we'd love to hear from you, particularly if there have been any God surprises on your journey. I guess you may not have gone from West End stage to commando to hair salon, but God will have done all kinds of things in your journey and your story. We'd love to hear from you. In a minute, you'll hear how you can get in contact with us. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for listening to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Get in touch by email at roadmaps@cliffcollege.ac.uk or find us at Cliff College on X.